Good morning. Tomorrow's my birthday. This week has been an emotional roller coaster in a very, very good way. Very good way. We've had so many answers to prayers this week. Rachel is moving in to an apartment. We take housing for granted. I keep a picture of my house on my desk and I look at it every day because I know what it's like not to have your own home. I know what it's like to lose everything, and I know what it's like to struggle and fight for something that is a necessity in life. And I'm telling you what, just this joy resonates up inside of me when I'm, yes, we have had so many answered prayers to people trying to find affordable housing in our church alone, and it is a miracle right now. So that's huge. This changes Rachel's life.
Amen.
Yeah. It is life changing. I forgot something. I wanted to say, Tina is such a wonderful friend that when her friend was in need, when her friend didn't have a place to stay, didn't have a home, she opened up her apartment. And it's a studio apartment. It's not a very big apartment, but Tina gave what she had to her friend. And it was rough sometimes. These girls are like sisters. But that is a beautiful friendship. Lay down your life for your friend. And Tina did that for Rachel. And I just wanted to raise her up and bless her and acknowledge that she did that. And it's beautiful.
It's been 30 years.
They've been sisters for 30 years. And then, where's Amber?
Running back up the
steps. She's running around.
Yeah.
She's hugging people is what she's doing.
Yeah.
She had her appointment on Thursday, and she is here this morning. And I'm telling you. There she is.
There's Amber.
There's Amber. Oh, my girl. Oh, prayed over her. Jace is here. He hasn't been able to be with us. And I was talking to God this morning, and I'm like, Lord, we've got so many things to praise you about this morning. If Chase comes, that's just going to be the icing on my cake. I did. I said that this morning as I was getting ready. And the Lord is good. He is good. And he is listening, Faith Church. And when we all pray and we storm the throne room of glory, we have answers to prayers. And not only that, but we're celebrating a brand new baby today. That's going to be coming and blessing us. That mama has a testimony you wouldn't believe. And she's having a little girl. And we're going to love on them. Love on them, love on them. Because that's what we do, isn't it? Amen. Oh, and Candy's home. That, look at it. I'm telling you, it's such a big week this week. Candy's home. We know they're listening. So good morning. Good morning. Good morning. We love you. Go ahead, Tina. Yes, aunt. Tina's aunt. Tina has such a caregiving heart and just so much full of love. She's been caring for her aunt that's disabled. And her aunt has a very nasty infection and wouldn't go to the hospital, but they took her by squad today. So thank the Lord she did go, but pray that she gets that healing and gets the attention that she needs to get. So keep them. And we have a wedding coming up. We've been busy getting them, talking with them and getting the ceremony ready. Hopefully everybody knows their duties, but we've been getting it all scheduled and worked out. So I hope that you're all here on the 6th. Oh, I hope you're here every Sunday, because this is great. This is wonderful. My favorite people are here this morning, and it's not the same when you're not. James isn't able to be here this morning, but just pray for him. And I told him we loved him and we'd miss him. But anyway, April 6th is going to be a great day, a great celebration. And then also Easter is coming. you know what? Friday was, but Easter Sunday morning is coming. It doesn't end on Friday, does it? Thank God. Amen. Pray for Rachel. She had to go to the ER last night. She's got a herniated disc and some other issues, but continue to pray for her. Jennifer, that's great. We're glad that you're here. You're in the right place. And if you want, after service, always wait if you want me to pray with you directly. I would love to do that with you. So let's pray. Let's get ourselves ready and centered. I gotta calm down because I'm so excited. Gracious God, our loving God, our God that loves it when we're able to celebrate and have this joy about the blessings that you give us in our life, that we are able to experience glory this side of heaven, joy this side of heaven, and love this side of heaven. And we are here in your presence this morning, and we come with our hearts open with this expectation. I'm shaken. I'm so excited and expectation during this time, but especially during this time of Lent, Lord. You remind us that you see us, you know us, you're in our lives, your hand is upon us, you go before us, beside us, and behind us, and that we are reminded that you're number one, that you come first. That's what Lent is all about, putting us back to that mindset where you are number one in our lives. And as we journey with Jesus towards the cross, may this time be a realignment for each one of us. And even if it isn't a realignment, that they're just coming to you for the first time, strip away the distractions, our false motive. Help us to see clearly what truly matters, your presence, your love, what you desire, your purpose for us. Forgive us for the times we've been at work without our heart, without love, and stir us a holy longing to put you first, to come back to our first. And let our worship this morning not be just songs or words, but that sweet fragrance of offering in your throne room of glory, Lord. We have so much, we always have reason to praise, but this morning we have even more. You gave us a big week, and you answered so many of our prayers, and we just thank you so much for the evidence of you that we get to have an experience here. May praise be pleasing to you, not because it's perfect, because Lord knows I sing out of tune, but because it's poured out in love. And be with Paul as he brings the word today, Lord. Anoint his heart and his voice. Speak through him and let the Spirit move freely. Be with the praise band as they lead us into this time of worship and praise. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. No. Thank you very, very much. My favorite people get to sing in my song to me. Thank you. So Psalm 63, you God are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and behold your power and your glory because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Amen. Who's ready to praise? Yeah, that was a little too quiet. Who's ready to praise? Okay. And praise isn't quiet. A greeting this morning is Genesis 3:19 and Joel 2, verses 12 through 13. Remember that you are dust, and dust you shall return. That is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothes in your grief, but tear your heart instead. Turn to the Lord your God. He is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I was telling these guys in the praise band, I was listening to a pastor yesterday online and doing little short stuff, and he said, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. He says, he's already done it all. Even if he don't do nothing else, he's done it all. So we got everything to Jesus.
Lord, we come in that song. All we do need is Jesus. But the thing is about you is you love us so much that you give us blessings this side of heaven. And that you supply, you provide, you protect. And you call us to be good stewards of what you've given to us. And so we come back and we offer you these gifts, these tithes and offerings. And we lift them up to you. We ask you to bless them, that they continue to multiply for us to be able to do the work that you've called us to do, building your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And we love the work that you called us to do. And help us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his name, we pray all these things. Amen. The priority of relationship. Revelation 2, 1 through 7. Write to the angel of the church in Ephesus. Write to the angel of the church of faith. Thus says the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works. I know your labor and your endurance, and that you cannot tolerate evil people. You have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not. You have found them to be liars. I know that you have persevered and endured hardships for the sake of my name, and you have not grown weary. Wow. I read that and I just see Newark Faith, Newark Faith, Newark Faith. We have endured. We have had hardships. And then the Lord says this, but I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. I don't think that's about us, but sometimes personally, I feel that. The love I had first. I forget the sweetness of my salvation through Jesus Christ. Remember then how far you have fallen. Fallen from that first time that you accepted Jesus into your heart. That first time that you discovered who he is, what he did for you, and the Holy Spirit filled you. You were on fire. Look how far you've fallen back. That's what this time of Lent is. Is looking at that point, how maybe we have fallen, or maybe you haven't even started yet and you are just now discovering this for the first time. Yet you do have this. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. And despite persecution, the church planted by Paul endured, spread the gospel, and was quick to challenge false prophets. But 30 years after Paul left, John's revelation included a stern warning for those believers. Imagine how the words of Revelation 2 must have struck the Ephesians. After contemplating their service to the gospel, Christ said, but I have this against you. The Lord warned them that they had left their first love. and their work was being done with the wrong motive. Christ called the Ephesians to remember their love for him and their delight in his salvation. They had the right doctrine. They had the right rules. They were talking Christianity. They had the right words, but their heart wasn't in the right spot. These things that we do count very little unless they stem from a vibrant personal connection with God, and that is what he's after from all of us, is number one, the relationship between you and him, between me and him. There's one thing God can't be. Well, there's a couple things God can't be. God can't be a liar, and he can't be anything but number one. Because if anything comes before that, that means you've made something in your life an idol. You're worshiping something other than the number one. Our work likely won't be effective or fruitful unless he is in it. You ever feel like your wheels are spinning? I do. In fact, God is more interested in our personal relationship with him than anything else. He desires to be the satisfaction and delight of his children so that our service is a result of loving devotion. The Lord is satisfied when our service is motivated by love for him. So we ask God to help us to return to our first love and to serve him with gladness. And that's what Lent is. Amen.
Let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible," and ask God to help us through this Lenten season dig into our Bibles even more. This is my Bible. It contains the Word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it. I believe it, and that settles it. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we journey through Lent, help us embrace your boundless love. May we open our hearts to your grace, allowing it to transform us. Soften our hearts and open our ears so that in your love, we may find our trust in you. Let your love shine through our actions that we may share it with others. Strengthen our faith as we seek to grow in your embrace. In this Lenten season, turn us toward you and your kingdom here on earth. May we be conduits of your grace and trust, your faithful mercy, so that our choices and actions may lead us to the flourishing of all. O gracious and merciful God, empower us to be gracious and merciful. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Again, I'm going to start this week with a few little tidbits. It is said that an emotion lasts about 90 seconds. When a feeling arises, the response in your body is brief. After that, it's not the emotion that lingers, but it's the story attached to it. That's why emotions can feel like they last for hours or days, because we keep feeding them with our thoughts, replaying situations, and reinforcing the feelings. The key isn't to suppress emotions, but to notice when you're the one keeping them alive. Growth, mindset, success begins with believing you can. Instead of thinking, "I can do this," think, "I'm still learning, I keep trying." "That is too hard?" Well, think this: with more practice, it'll get easier. Instead of thinking, "I will give up," think this: "I will try a different way." Instead of, "I don't know how," think this: "I can learn how." Instead of, "I'm not good at this," think this: "What can I learn to get better at this?" Instead of saying, "I'm afraid of making a mistake," think this: "Mistakes are how we learn," or "how I learn and get better." Instead of, "They are better at it than I am," think this: "What can I learn from them?" Everybody knows the Irish blessing, and I know St. Patrick's Day is come and gone, but this is a way to expand your thoughts a little bit on that Irish blessing. May the best day of your past be the worst day of your future. May green be the grass you walk on. May blue be the skies above you. May pure joy be the joys that surround you. May true be the hearts that love you. May you have thoughts of hindsight to know where you've been, the foresight to know where you're going, and the insight to know when you're going too far. May peace and plenty be the first to lift the latch of your door, and happiness be your guest today and evermore. May you have a world of wishes at your command. May God and his angels be close at hand. May friends and family their love import. And may Irish blessings be in your heart. Now we continue on our Lenten journey. I want to again talk about what we've talked about thus far. In the first Sunday of Lent, Pastor Haley told us about Jesus' baptism and of being in the wilderness for 40 days. She talked about how he is our high priest because he experienced our weakness and temptations as a human, but without sin or falling into temptation and spiritual warfare. This was the beginning of the journey. Last week, I talked about John the Baptist, come to be baptized. The Pharisees questioned John who he was and why he had the right to baptize. John told him, I baptize with water, but right here in this crowd, somebody you do not recognize. Though his ministry follows mine, I'm not even worthy to be his slave or untie the straps of his sandal. John also replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah, I am the voice shouting in the wilderness. Clear the way of the Lord's coming. The following day, he pointed to Jesus and said, look, there is the Lamb of God. Two of John's disciples started following him, but one by one, Jesus gathered many disciples, choosing them and drawing them to follow. They came from all walks of life, tax collectors and fishermen. Jesus chose 12 of them to be his apostles. We talked about the cost of being a disciple, the story of the lost sheep, Jesus being the good shepherd, and that we are the sheep outside the sheepfold, but that Jesus is the one shepherd with one flock. We talked last week about it being the beginning of his ministry. Religious leaders were threatened by Jesus, prayed that he might take away their power in society, and plotted behind closed doors, looking for ways to discredit him any way they could and catch him doing something that would allow them to get rid of him. When I talk today, we're going to talk about how the Pharisees saw him and how they discredited some of the things that he talked about. Jesus performed many miracles, healed the sick, afflicted, casted out demons as well, and associated with some unsavory people. That was an important part of his ministry. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Poor and downtrodden. Feed the hungry. Love one another. Jesus' first recorded miracle, his mother and the disciples were all invited. The host ran out of wine, but his mother told Jesus of this, and Jesus told her, dear woman, that's not our problem. My time has not yet come. But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. Jesus told the servants to fill up 6 stone jars with water. Once they were filled, told one of them to dip some out of those jars and take it to the master of ceremonies. He tasted the water, which was now wine, that the servants had dipped out. When normally the best wine was served first, and then the cheap wine was served, in this case, the best wine was served last. Jesus, after a long journey, sat down at a well. A Samaritan woman came to draw water from that well. Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to do anything with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you speaking to me and asking me for a drink? Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket and the well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than the ancestors than our ancestors, Jacob, who gave us the well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon be thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give them will never be thirsty again. It becomes a refreshing, bubbling spring within you, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come to this well. Go get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. You're right, said Jesus. You don't have a husband. You have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man that you're living with right now. You certainly spoke the truth. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me why it is that Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place to worship, while Samaritans claim it is here on Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worshiped. Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter where you worship the Father, on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while the Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews. The time is coming indeed. It is here now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Just then the disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to the woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask him, what are you doing? Or what do you want from her? Or why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So people came streaming from the village to see him. Disciples encouraged Jesus to eat something, but Jesus replied, I have the kind of food you know nothing about. My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me, and from finishing his work. There are 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruits they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. One plants and another harvests. And it's true, I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others are already done the work, and now you gather the harvest. When Jesus said, others had done the work, he may have been talking about the prophets of old or other godly people, which would have included John the Baptist. That was the voice in the wilderness telling of the coming of the Messiah. Everywhere Jesus went, people heard of the things he had done. Simon's mother was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus, and he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, and helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered by the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out demons at his command. The demons knew him and shouted, "You are the Son of God!" But because they knew he was the Messiah, he rebuked them and refused to let them speak. Another day, a large crowd was gathered. A man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me and can make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said. Be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus told him to go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along an offering required of the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. Jesus returned to Jerusalem after one of the Jewish holy days. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, lay on the porches. One had been lame for 38 years. Jesus asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else beats me to the pool ahead of me." Jesus said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." He was healed. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. So Jewish leaders objected. You could not work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat. The Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus, breaking the Sabbath rules. But Jesus replied, "My Father is always working, and so am I." The Jewish leaders tried harder to find a way to kill him. But he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, therefore making himself equal to God. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does also. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. For just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. In addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son the absolute authority to judge. So everyone will honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son is certainly not honoring the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. And I assure you that the time is coming indeed. It is here now when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God. And those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself and has granted the same life-giving power to the Son. And he has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. Don't be surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judge is just, because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will." One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to dinner. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. A certain immoral woman from the city heard that he was eating there. She brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She is a sinner." Then Jesus answered his thoughts. "Simon," he said to the Pharisee, "I have something to say to you." "Go ahead, teacher," Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 to the other, but neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave both of them, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon says, "I suppose the one who had the larger debt that he canceled." "That's right," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust off my feet, but she washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, though they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But the person who is forgiven little shows only little love." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." The men at the table said amongst themselves, "Who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
Lord was there as she walked into the room. She was greeted by the stairs. She surely must have shocked a few, for the people standing there, as with tear-filled eyes and trembling hands, she took down her long dark hair. Then an alabaster vessel, precious ointments filled her hands. As she wept, she kissed his feet and began anointing them.
Yeah.
Where do you fit in this picture? There were a lot of people that came to Jesus for all kinds of needs. They needed healed. They needed somebody to lift them up. They needed assurance from the Messiah that they had a chance for eternal life, and they didn't even know it yet. Our Lenten journey is still going. We have time to reach out and to touch him, and he will reach out and touch you. I promise you that. If you go to him, he will be there for you throughout everything. Have you been touched by God? Do you feel the healing rain in your bodies? He's given it for you. We're in the Lenten season. You still have time to learn and to hear his word and to prepare for what the greatest gift that God ever gave us, his son, Jesus Christ, given for you and for many. Have a blessed week.